Hello.
Yeah. I'm going to continue this morning about hearing the voice of God. Yeah? Did anyone get their notes? Has anyone read their notes? Yeah? Yeah? Is it working for you? No one's hearing the voice. That's only just me. Anyone hearing the voice of God? I'll say it again. If not, I'll have to do lesson one again. Yes. Is anyone hearing the voice of God?
Yes.
Yes. There are some notes here that I've written because it's too much. This is the addition. This is the addition to last notes. If you want them, they're here. All right. Who wants them? Okay. No, these aren't last times. No, we'll do it now. It's all right. Leave me alone. Yeah, they're yours because that's from last week as well. That's all right. I thought of you. If you want them, just put your hand up. Praise the Lord. Hearing the voice of God. Right? That's my notes. Are you taking my notes? So last time I spoke, we can remember that God invited us to the table regardless of our condition. Do you remember that? God invites us to the table regardless of our condition. Mesopheth was invited to David's table. Oh, are they the good ones? Okay. Mesopheth was invited to David's table, Jonathan's son, even though he was a cripple. And he had lost covenant. And he lost position, he's lost status. We need more, okay, I'll get some more. He lost status, but he was still invited to the table. And I want to tell you, no matter what the condition you might be in, physically, emotionally, spiritually, that there is a Jesus' table for you to eat. Amen? But he will not do the eating for you. You have to eat for yourself. And that which is weak will become strong again. Amen? And it says of Mesopheth that he always had a place at the king's table. Glory to God. You always have a place at the king's table to eat. And what do we eat of? We eat of the bread of life. Amen. So that's why we spoke last time that we must be a people of the word. You must be a people of the word because everything has to be aligned or plumb lined, Amos 7 and 7 would say, according to the word. Amen. He is the chief cornerstone. Everything, Amos 7 and 7, plumb line to the chief cornerstone, Jesus. Everything must be measured from him. Everything must be aligned to the chief cornerstone. Amen. I cannot build what I think I should build. He will tell me how to build, and my measure will be from the chief cornerstone himself. Amen. Do you agree with that? Let's pray. We thank you for the anointing of your word this morning. God, you said you've given your people an ear to hear what the Spirit is saying. Lord, the seven churches, you said, he who has an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying. Father, you said in the Gospels, Father, have an ear to hear. Lord, this morning we ask you that you would circumcise our ears to hear what the Spirit is saying. Lord, we come against every other voice. We captivate every other thought to the obedience of my Christ this morning, that God, I am a son of God, and if I'm a son of God, I am led by the Spirit of God. So God, we give you glory, honor, and praise this morning in Jesus' holy name. Amen. So I must be in fellowship with him. I must learn to be still. I must talk to him. I must be in the word. To have or hear the voice of God, I must be in the word. One has to hear what the Spirit is saying to be led by the Spirit. Who agrees with that this morning? Who wants to be led by the Spirit? For in everyday living, not everything is written in the Word. The principles of God are written in the Word. His character and his integrity are written in the Word. But he will not tell you if you need to buy that car in the Word. He will not tell you if you should buy that house in the Word. But he will impress on your spirit through the Rhema word, what you need to do. That's why it's imperative for me to have an ear to hear what the Spirit is saying. Amen. Sometimes we have opportunities given to us, whether a job, whether whatever, the house to buy, or whatever, a business to start. And I need to hear the voice of the Father, because not every good idea is a God idea. I'm going to say that again. Not every good idea is a God idea. Amen. And not every time you give is a good thing to do. Now that's a bit of a shock. Because sometimes when you give to rescue people, you're delaying the process of God. Not all, I'm not saying all the time. But when out of my compassion, I am moved to give instead of hearing the voice to give, I can actually delay the process of God in that person's life. Because just maybe in their processing, God needs them to drink from the cup that He's given them. So He can establish something in their life so they're not relying on people or things or substance or whatever from others, but relying upon the Master Himself. Amen? But when God tells me to give, of course I give freely. But even in that process, I must have an ear to hear what the Spirit is saying to me. Do I give my children everything? Do you? Well, if you do, you're silly. No, you don't. When they stamp into their feet and they cry aloud when they're young, and they're, I want this. No, Dad, give me that. Do I give it to them all the time? No. If they come to me and say, Dad, can you buy me a $100,000 Ferrari? Would I give it to them? I'll just buy them a little tinker toy. Here's your Ferrari. Stroke that and believe God. Of course you don't give them everything. Does your Father give you everything you want? No, He'll only give you everything you need. Therefore, we must be a one that hears what the Spirit is constantly saying, and I learn the character, the integrity, and I learn the ways of God through the Word of God. I will not find from every situation that I'm in everything that I need in the Word, but I can get every situation under the control of the Spirit if I have an ear to hear. Amen. There was times when we were younger, we were going around Australia, and I probably said this once before, but we were in Queensland, and this little old lady come up to me, and she hit me. I was in this church visiting, and she, little Chinese lady actually, and of course, I got all upset. Who does she think she is? You know? She goes, get them chairs, turn them around so I can dance. So I did, begrudgingly. I only did it because I was in church probably. But I did it. She's dancing away. She's about 80, 84, somewhere around there. She goes, you're coming to my house for lunch. Well, I'm into that. Praise Jesus. When you've been eating beetroot juice and rice for a couple of days, anything's better than that. So anyway, we went, and her chauffeur picked her up. Hat on, full suit. He says, follow me. I says, you certainly will. I went to the biggest house I've ever been to, single story. Its verandas were bigger than my house. Huge. She comes up to me, she goes to the bloke, she goes, go in the back and grab the box. So he grabbed this box, weighty box, wasn't it, love? She says, I want to give you this. I opened the box, all gold bars. She goes, there's $17,000 in there. I could have bought a house in Perth for 20. So today I'm roughly about 450, 500 grand. I went, thank you, Jesus. I did. I was loud. Thank you, Jesus. No more beetroot juice and rice. And God said to me, don't touch that. And my hand just went, jump. I said, I can't have that. She goes, why not? I said, I really don't know why. He's just told me I can't. So I can't. No sooner had I said, I can't have that, we can't have that, her son walks in, who was the pastor of the church.
A big church.
800 people. He said, did my mom offer you the gold? He says, did you take it? I says, I didn't. He says, will you preach? I had just met him. And that's exactly what God wanted. If you have an ear to hear, just because it was a good thing, doesn't mean it's a God thing. And gold is not my source. God is my source. Amen. There's been many other times. Once I remember we had a car. And God said to me, tell that lady you're going to give her your car. So we're sitting around. I says, do you need a car? She goes, yeah. She goes, here's my keys. We gave her the car. I walked her home that night. I couldn't drive her because I didn't have a car. But it's true. Everything you own is not yours. Everything you own is not yours. Store up for yourselves treasure in. We'll get to that in a minute. You need to have an ear to hear what the Spirit is saying. And sometimes trouble will cause you not to be able to hear. Anyone ever experienced trouble? Sometimes trouble will cause you not to be able to hear. I remember when John was born, I could not hear. I was so caught up in fear, I couldn't hear. Yet my wife could hear. She said, God's told me if he lives longer than 3 days, he's ours. All I wanted to hear was a doctor say he's going to be well. Because fear will drive you to what you know or what you want to hear. Fear will hinder your hearing ability in the spirit. Amen. I don't know why I'm saying all that, but anyway. I remember a young man picking me up. I didn't know him. Picking me up to preach. He said, I need to talk to you. I said, okay. I'd been away a year, and this pastor asked me to preach. Nice man, married. And he picked me up to preach. This young man. He sent a young man to pick me up in a ute. We're driving down, probably half an hour to Belmont. He said, I need to talk to you. I said, okay. Then all of a sudden, God said to me this, tell him to stop fornicating with a pastor's wife. I said, God's just told me, stop fornicating with a pastor's wife. He packed his bags and left that night for Sydney. So if you have an ear to hear, in the privacy of a ute speaking to his life, in the privacy of just me and him, he got his answer. And it saved the marriage. And it's not what I said. It's that he knew it was God. Amen. You need in this hour more than ever before, because there's deceiving spirits, to have an ear to hear what the Spirit is saying. Amen. Because people need to hear the truth, because only the truth will make them. Hallelujah. So we have to have an ear to hear. And it's through the word of the Lord that it gives me unctions, the old King James will say, or promptings of the Spirit. Faith will arise to do things that you know you can't do. Or checks will happen in your spirit when you know you shouldn't do it. That is the leading of a hearing of the Spirit. Anyone ever had a check in their spirit? That's God talking to you. Mightn't be a voice, but it's still God talking to you. Have you ever had some faith just arise in your heart to believe and move into something that you all of a sudden didn't know why? You know, but where you're moving into. But God instilled in you a faith to move into something fresh and something new. Amen. I remember this lady coming to Perth, Australia from America for years, and she hadn't bought a house for years, and all of a sudden she goes, I've got to buy a house. And she walked in this house, she goes, I'm buying it. And she goes, as soon as the sale was done, she goes, What have I done? She rang me up. What have I done? My husband's going to kill me. Within a year, the house had doubled. She sold it. She could live off it in America for another 3 or 4 years. She had an ear to hear, or a faith got stirred in the spirit. She acted, moved. God did. Sometimes God will move you into situations and circumstances to be able to do something or not do them, but I have to have an ear to hear. Are you with me? Besides the lack of reading and prayer and waiting on God, there can be things in one's life because of intensity of trials or wrong internal things that can hinder me from hearing the voice of God. From hearing the voice of God. All right? My fixation can be or become set on the problem or my justification and not on the promise. Sometimes my fixation can consume me of the problem. But also, if there's an internal issue happening in my life, I can become set on the problem and then I want justification for what I am doing. And it hinders me from hearing God. It hinders me from hearing God. Turn with me to Exodus chapter 4, verse 31. This is the story of Moses. Moses was called by God. Moses had a mountaintop experience. The bush began to light. And he said, I'm going to go and see why this light, this bush dimmed. So he went. All right. So he said, the Lord said to him, now go, you're going to go and you're going to tell the people that they're my people. I've come down to set them free. And all, everything's going to be sweet by and by. Now go in this this power of yours. You give them three signs to do. Does anyone know what any one of them signs are? Give them three signs to show Israel. Three signs to show Israel that, that the I Am was with him. Three signs. Change the rod into a snake. Change his hand from leprous to healing again. Yeah? Anyone else got the other one? Doesn't matter. We'll go on. Homework. All right? So all of a sudden, he came to the children of Israel. They heard the promise of God that God was going to pull them out of Egypt and God was going to bless them and take them into a promised land. And they were so happy. They were saying what God was going to do. And it says in verse 31, so the people believed. Amen. The people believed. And they what they had heard, the word. And the Lord visited the children of Israel and he looked upon their affliction and they bowed their knees and worshiped him. Isn't it wonderful they can worship him when everything is sweet by and by and you got a promise? Yeah, God's going to do this. I'm going to worship you. I'm going to love on you. I'm going to praise you. God's going to move mountains on my behalf. Praise the Lord. It's easy to worship him in that atmosphere. Are you with me? So Moses goes to Pharaoh. Exodus chapter 5. The Lord says, let my people go that they may worship me. So I don't know your God. I tell you what, get the captains. All right, they want to worship their God? Don't give them any more straw. Tell them to get their own straw and do not make them slack, but they must fill their quota of bricks. Remember that? Well, Moses went back to the people. All the elders went back to the people, crying, moaning and groanings. The moanies and groanies. Fill your quota of bricks. Verse 6 to 9 says, therefore the children of Israel said, I am the Lord. And so the God prophesies to them again. I am the Lord. I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. I will rescue you from their bondage. I will redeem you with an outstretched arm. I will give great judgments. I will take you as my people. I will be your God. Then you shall know that I am the Lord your God who brings you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. I will bring you into the land sworn to give Isaac, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I will give to you as a heritage. I am the Lord. Now, who wants that sort of promise? Hallelujah. Right? So Moses spoke thus to the children of Israel, but they did not heed Moses because of what? Anguish of spirit and cruel bondage. Anguish of spirit and cruel situations can stop you hearing the voice of God. All the promises were there, prophesying over them, but because they took something into their heart and something struck their heart and there was anxiousness, there was a burden, there was hopelessness, there was despair, guess what? It stopped them hearing the voice of God. Promises, yes, but something happened. Turn the next one, son. What does the anguish mean? Troubled mind. Grief of heart. This is John Gill's commentary. Grief of heart, with which they were swallowed up, or for the shortness of breath. Such was the weight upon them. They didn't hear what he had just said. You will be my people. I will deliver you. I will give you a promise. They didn't hear any of that. You see what anguish can do? It robs you of the promise and makes you so fixated on the problem. Being pressed, they could hardly breathe. Feeling the weight of disappointment, they were incapacitated of attending to what was spoke to them, seeing no way of deliverance from it. Hopelessness stops you hearing the voice of God. Faithlessness stops you hearing of God. Amen. They had a promise, but the burden of them of the now to them was bigger than the promise of their tomorrow. The burden of the now. Anyone ever suffered a burden? Sometimes in the midst of your burden, you're not hearing God. You're hearing everything but God. What if I do this? Maybe if I do that. What if we try that? What if we try this? All seems good, but it doesn't mean it's God. Yeah? Daniel 10 and 13 says this. An angel came to the Lord, from the Lord was sent because of Daniel's prayer. It was held up for 21 days. There was a time of spiritual warfare before he even got the answer of prayer. I want to tell you, sometimes waiting on God and it doesn't happen immediately, the answer, you sometimes need to fight the good fight of faith. Sometimes you've got to start fighting the spiritual war. Sometimes you've got to know when your God wants to answer you, and you've got to stand by faith and doing all to stand, keep standing there for and confessing the promises of God until your faithlessness becomes faith again, and there's a transfer from heaven to earth in your mindset, and your mind will be transformed and renewed by the power of His Word. Sometimes you've got to battle hell. Sometimes you've got to battle a devil. Sometimes you've got to battle generational problems. Sometimes you've got to battle how you even feel in your own self. Sometimes you've just got to take a stock of yourself and say, "Oh my soul, why are you disquieted within me? For yet I shall praise the Lord." You've got to speak to yourself. Hallelujah. Next one, please. The internals that harden my ability to hear in the midst of my Egypt. God never intends the children of God to live in it. He will make room for you in the midst of your dilemma. He will cover you under the shadow of His wing when you're going through your trouble and your trial. But you are never intended to live life on this earth as a life. You're intended to pass through. Your life is hidden in Christ. You are born of the Spirit. You are not of this earth, even though you're in this earth. You are not of this earth. I'm a sojourner. I'm a stranger, Peter says. I am passing through this life. I am just moving on. This is not me. This world is not my inheritance. This world, the next one will be, is not my inheritance. My inheritance is Christ. Amen. So some of the internals in my life could harden me from hearing the voice of God. You might hear a good idea. You can even hear the serpent speak in the midst of the garden. Unforgiveness, bitterness, anger, resentment, fruits of the flesh, Galatians says, brings a disconnect of one's ability to hear and receive. Doesn't mean He's left you. It just means you can't hear Him. What I'm hearing is the unforgiveness, the bitterness, the anger, the resentment, the justification to get back. My Bible says, "Vengeance is mine," says the Lord. Where does that say that? I'll give you a minute to think about that one. "Vengeance is mine," says the Lord. In other words, when you take vengeance for yourself, you're taking the place of God. Because vengeance is whose? It's His. So the minute you step out and step into vengeance, you're taking the place of God. "I need to come before Him with clean hands and a pure heart," Psalm 24 verse 4 says. "My actions, I have to be pleasing to Him. And a pure heart, I have to harbor nothing contrary to the word regarding any..." pureness of heart is having nothing against anyone harboring in my heart, because it will infect my spirit and it will affect my mind and it will harden me to the Word of God. I will not adhere to the principles of the Word when I have something in unforgiveness or some bitterness within me. I will might know of the Word, but I'm not allowing the Word to instruct me. Are you listening? I'm not allowing the Word to instruct me out of my situation and my problem, because my situation, my problem is my justification to feel how I want to feel. I need to come before Him with clean hands, pure heart. When one is hearing and is being obedient to His voice, which will always reveal His kingdom, power and authority, there is then a reward to those who diligently seek Him. Say this with me. There is a reward to those who diligently seek Him. Hebrews 11 and 6. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Faith does not look at my situation. Faith does not look, be moved by my feelings. Faith is a substance of things hoped for. And when the devil wants to get you down and away from the voice of God, he will attack your hope. He will attack your hope. What am I hoping for? What is the next thing that God has for my life? Where does God want me to move into? What is the next step that He wants me to take? Because hear me, you better be taking steps, because if you're standing still, you're actually going backwards. He wants you to take the next step by faith. But when you're in a hearing relationship, you know when you take the next step, you're in the will. I can't see it. I can't feel it. I mightn't even be able to express it, but I'm in His will. Hallelujah. So what is this reward? What is this treasure He's talking about? Jesus said this, didn't He? He says, store up for yourselves treasure in heaven. Remember that? Store up for yourselves treasure in heaven. What is it that I'm supposed to be storing up in heaven? What is this treasure He's talking about? This thing of value, this thing that is precious. What is it that I have to store up in heaven? It's so good, He wants me to store it. What is this treasure of God? No, that is some of it. I shouldn't have said that. Yes, you're right. Some of it. What is this treasure? What am I storing up? If I'm earthly minded, if I'm not of His kingdom, if I'm not seeking the Word, I'm not moved by His character and His integrity, if I'm not allowing the Spirit to dictate to me and tell me where, how, and what to do, what kingdom am I building? Am I building the kingdom of self? Or is it I'm building the kingdom of... Because His sons build the kingdom of God. Amen. They don't allow the things of this world to encompass them and make it a treasure. Everything I have, hear me, everything I have, I hold it like this because it's not mine. It doesn't mean I can't have a house. It doesn't mean I can't have a car. It doesn't mean I can't have houses. But if He requires them of you, yes, Lord. Matthew 6:21 says, for where your treasure is, there your heart is also. A lot of people get that mixed up. They say, where my heart is, my treasure is. It's not. Where your treasure is, there your heart is. Where your treasure is, there your heart is. What do I treasure? Because where I treasure, my heart will be there. Amen. Luke 6 and 45 says this, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good. An evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart. There is good treasure and bad treasure. There is good treasure and bad treasure. Brings forth evil. For out the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. The abundance of what? The abundance of the treasure that's in your heart. The abundance of the treasure that's in your heart. Your mouth will speak it. My mouth will speak it. Amen. Treasure is my words and actions. My treasure reveals either the good or the bad condition of my heart. And what I value, my heart will reside. My treasure reveals where my heart is. God's whole purpose in us positioning to hear is to enable us to be like Christ. It's not that you can have a new car, and it's not like you can have 5 acres of land. It's not got anything to do with that. Thank God for that, and you might be blessed through that. But the whole emphasis of it is to make you like Christ. Amen. Tells us three times to store up treasure in heaven. And each time is a reference to giving and not to give, to worry or be anxious. Three times he says in four verses, do not worry. What one translation says, do not be anxious. Do not allow anxiety to get around your heart because it will determine where your treasure is. Don't get anxious. Jesus said that he gives you the clothes on your back. Jesus said he'll give you the food that you need. Jesus said that he'll give you the shelter that you require. Don't be anxious about life. God has it all in control. If he can feed the sparrows, he can certainly feed you. Amen. Are you with me? Don't be anxious about my lack. In Matthew 6, 25, 28, 30, and 34, he says the same thing. Do not worry. Anyone have a problem with worry? Come on, let's be honest. Please. I'm trying to be as frank as I possibly can. We all go through these periods of worry. We all go through these periods of stress. We all go through these periods of anxiety. And God is saying, gravitate your heart to the promises and gravitate your heart to my work, the worry. Amen. In fact, Jesus says, don't worry, for there's enough worry in the day thereof. Stop worrying about your tomorrow. In fact, Psalm 29, is it Psalm 29? Says, what was I going to say? Presumption is a sin. Stop talking about it all the time. Stop talking about your problem and yes, tomorrow. It might never happen. Psalm 19. Thanks, love. Matilda's commentary. Psalm 19. Stop worrying about your tomorrow so much of the things that will happen because it might never happen. Your God could rescue you in the midst of nothing. He could all of a sudden cause your enemies to turn around and flee. He could answer your prayer in the midst of your night. He will can cause your morning into joy. He will make his mercies new every morning. Stop worrying about Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Here's another thing. Yeah. Sorry, I'm getting a bit loud. What stops me giving? What stops me giving? Each time the reference was as to give. What stops me giving? And it's not just money. God wasn't just talking about money, part of it, but he wasn't talking purely money about your giving, right? What stops me giving? Not just my money. If it is my treasure or my value system is earthly, it will stop me giving. It'll stop you giving forgiveness. It'll stop you giving mercy. It'll stop you giving love. It'll stop you giving grace. It'll stop you giving a blessing. By storing up treasure in heaven is done by distributing, not accumulating. I have to become a distributor and not an accumulator. What do I mean by that? I've got to distribute love, grace, forgiveness, gentleness, blessing, giving, and we'll go into it in a minute. I've got to be a distributor of those things. I can't afford to be an accumulator of unforgiveness, bitterness, anger, resentment, pain, hurt. I can't accumulate those things. That is not the Spirit. Amen. Turn with me to Luke 6, 20, 27 and 36. But I say to you who what? Yeah. Only those who hear can read this. Only those who hear can understand this. Love your enemies. Love your enemies. Those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who have despitefully used you. Show mercy to him who strikes you on one cheek. Offer him the other also. If he strikes that one, and he wants to hit you again, smack him. No. Offer the other also. And for him who takes away your cloak, do not withhold your tunic either. In other words, give. Give to everyone who asks of you, and from him who takes away your goods, do not ask them back. And just as you want men to do to you, you also do to them likewise. But if you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? Now he's talking about treasure. Store up for yourselves treasure. What credit is that to you? Know what credit means? You've got an abundance of. For even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who do good, is that to you? Are you getting the picture? Credit? Even sinners do the same. And if you lend to those who, from whom you hope to receive back, what credit is that to you? For even sinners lend to sinners to receive much back. 35. But love your enemies. Do good, lend, hoping for nothing in return. And your what? Or your treasure will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High. For he is kind to the unthankful, and this is Father. He is kind to the unthankful and evil. He is kind to the unthankful and he is kind to the evil. Therefore, be merciful just as your Father is also merciful. Judge not and you shall not be. I want you to look at from verse 37 on, because here, these are keys. If you want to store treasure in heaven, here are the keys to store the treasure. Judge not and you shall not be judged. Condemn not and you shall not be condemned. Give. Give what? Well, we just said it all, didn't we? Love, do good, mercy, give, grace. Give. And it will, see, we look at that as money. Give and it will be given back to you. Pressed down, shaken together, your cup running over. Oh yes, Lord, bring it in. It's not about that at all. It's not about that at all. It's about love, mercy, grace, forgiveness, gentleness. You give that, God will give back to you. Pressed down, shaken together, your cup will be running over. Who wants some of that? And be put into your bosom. For with the same measure that you use, use what? Mercy, grace, love, forgiveness, etc., etc. It will be measured back to you. That is the measure you're storing in heaven. So when I stand before him and he has seen me love the unlovely, when he has seen me not be reviled and not speak back and not hold unforgiveness, guess what? He doesn't hold back. I've got a treasure in heaven. I've got a how's my bank in heaven? How many deposits have I made this week? How much credit have you got? Or I'm in debt. Hey? Do you know God charges interest? It's true. Leviticus. He said, if you don't bring your tithe or your gift to the, he says, the following week you bring back plus 20%. That's what he said. But we're not under the law. All right, so it's cool. Bank rates will do me. No, it's not. I need to become a distributor, not an accumulator. A distributor of what? Finances, giving, doing good, blessing. All them things are in the list of that last scriptures I said. Mercy, being kind, showing grace, walking in love and forgiveness. I need to have them. They are what credits me in heaven. That is my treasure. Amen. That is my treasure. Because what I treasure on earth, moth, rust. And what else is there? Moth, rust, and something else. Will destroy it. Moth speaks of my garment. If my treasure on earth, moth speaks of my garment. In other words, it will rob me of my righteousness. Right? Rust speaks of corrosion and erosion. It will erode away my life in Christ because my treasure is on. And see, this is where I think a lot of Christians get between and betwixt. because they pursue the things so much on earth. And it's nothing wrong with having things. They just can't be my focus all the time. But if they consume me and they're the treasure of my heart, it will erode the walk in God. Are you with me? There will be rust. God is looking for his people to be obedient to the call of what?
Follow me.
To follow, I must be able to hear when I can't see and be in a place of hearing. He will ask me to drink from the cup that he has placed in my hand. Whatever you're going through, I'm going to tell you something. It might shock you, but whatever you're going through, right? No matter what your situation, God will sometimes make you to get out of you what he's placed in you. You never know what's in you until you're under pressure. You never know what's really in you till you're facing the test. And so even Jesus, when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, he cried out to his disciples, could you not pray with me for an hour? Because they what? What did they do? They fell asleep. And that was God's intent, because he didn't want Jesus and the three disciples. He just needed Jesus. And he said, Father, if it's possible, take away what? This cup. Take away the cup. Take away, I know I've got to drink from it. I don't want to drink from this. But Jesus, the Father, had to get Jesus alone. And sometimes your friends will fall asleep around you, not intentionally. But when you want to draw from them something they really can't give you, because it's God that wants you by yourself in your garden at Gethsemane. And the word Gethsemane means oil press. There is a squeezing. There is a squeezing in the garden. Amen. What did it cost the olive to give up the oil? What did it cost an olive to give up the oil? If you want the anointing and you want the treasure of heaven, what does it cost an olive to give up its oil? It's got to be crushed. It's got to be crushed. But no matter what's happening on the potter's wheel, his hands never leave the wheel. Is that what a potter does when the wheel's spinning? Does his hands ever leave the pot, the clay? Never. No matter what the shape you're in, his hands are still there to mold you into what he wants for your life. Amen. He gives me the opportunity and privilege to walk in the Spirit. Hear me. It's an absolute privilege to walk. It's not an effort. It's not something he demands from me. I want to turn this thing around. It is a privilege to be called a son of God. And to walk in the Spirit, being a distributor and not an accumulator. There is more richness in your giving out than ever be an accumulator of hate, bitterness, anger, resentment, jealousy. Amen. Because you can walk away free. What they do with it is entirely to themselves. I am free. I have stored treasure in heaven. I am free. I have an account with God. To walk as he walked, he has to have an ear to hear what the Spirit is saying. Jesus said, I only do what I see my Father do. I only speak what I hear my Father. That's led by the Spirit. Did Jesus ever have need? No. He was that confident. He could give the purse to a thief. And if he was short, he just had to catch a fish, because there was a gold coin found in his mouth. He was not sure. Did he know that Judas was a thief? Of course he did. Of course he did. Yeah, nothing escapes the Father. Of course he did. And he gave the thief, here's the money. I don't know if Judas ever took it. Knowing Judas, he probably did. But there was the two disciples leave John the Baptist, run after Jesus, and they ask the most ridiculous question. He said, "What do you want?" He says, "Tell us where you're staying." What a question. Tell us where you're staying. Foxes have holes, birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. Not on this earth. I'm not going to rest on this earth. Amen. Where are you staying? That's where I want to be. I want to be where he is. I want to do what he does. How's my bank? How's my deposits going? Where's my treasure? Hallelujah. Who wants now to hear the voice of the Father? If you really want to hear it, it'll cost you. Because when you hear it, he expects you to do it. Because my Bible says, he who knows to do good and doesn't do it, to him it is sin. Yes. Just been told I'm going on like a pork chop. Stop. I want a people matured in the things of the Spirit. I want a people so confident they're hearing the voice of God that they can say no to the gold bars. They can say no to opportunities when they know it's not God. They can say no when they know it's good, but it's still not God. I want a people that hear his voice, that they walk in his ways and do great exploits for him. And then we'll be filled with the Holy Ghost and power. Glory to God. And then they might see the power of God in your life. Amen. Who wants that for their life? Then you will see revival. Revival. Let's stand today. My sheep hear my voice, the voice of a stranger they shall not follow. My sheep hear my voice, the voice of a stranger they shall not follow. Seeing they did not see, and hearing they did not hear, lest they should return and they repent and I should heal them. Store up for your treasure in heaven. Three times Jesus says, store up your treasure in heaven. Store up your treasure in heaven. Every time I have a place of unforgiveness, every time I allow pain in my heart, every time I allow a situation to dominate me through the hardship of the circumstance and I want to take revenge, you've actually just did a withdrawal from heaven. Hallelujah. 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 I really believe we need to have an Isaiah calling in this hour. Lord, I'm a man of unclean lips. And the angel brought a coal from the throne and touched his lips. And he announced him clean. Hear me. Heaven announced him clean because the fire touched his lips. Glory to God. Who wants the fire? Who wants that fire this morning? Who wants to have clean lips? Dear God, help me. Help me. I want to be a man of clean lips. I don't want bitter and sweet waters coming out of this fountain no more. I want to be a man of clean lips. Circumcised heart. Circumcised ear to hear. And God, I want my cup filled, pressed down, shaken together, running over with your goodness and your mercy and your grace. That I can be a distributor of the good things of my God to this broken world. Father, you see those hands raised this morning. Raise them tall. Raise them high for your God. God, here I am. Here I am. Here I am, Jesus. Allow the coal to touch my lips. Lord, I want to be a son that hears the voice of the Father with clarity in this hour. Lord, help me to store up treasure in heaven. Lord, help me to be a distributor and not an accumulator. Forgive those who have offended me. I forgive those, Father, who've come against me. I forgive those who've spoken against me. I forgive those who have hurt me. I forgive them. I release them. I release them like you released me upon the cross. I release them. And Father, I thank you. Today is my day of liberty and freedom. And God, I will have a cup filled, pressed down, shaken together. And out of the abundance of my life, people will be blessed in Jesus' name. And if that's you, say amen and amen. Hallelujah. Do you love him? Awesome. That is the last installment on hearing the voice. If you need to hear it again, please go to the website and it will be replayed to you. The next deposit will cost you $5. No way.